DVRI. This is my new antenna.
NHMH, mobile.
KF8ENF mobile.
KC8VS. VSU.
I heard a unanswered call here a few minutes ago. Anybody around? Whiskey 8, Romeo, Papa Mike, mobile on the 7-4.
And ATMH, mobile.
VSU, portable.
Hello, W8RPM.
KF8ENF, hello, Ron.
Happy Tuesday. What's going on?
I am en route to one of my favorite weekly activities and looking forward to that despite the warm, sticky weather.
Yeah, what would that be?
I'm a firearms instructor and I have a class that I teach every week.
Yeah, where at?
At a private range just outside of Petoskey, between Petoskey and Wolverine.
Interesting. I have friends with 40 acres right there off Shire Road with a real nice gravel pit in the back, made for just that purpose. I'm also treasurer of our sportsman's club, whether you knew that or not. What else has been going on? I'm in downtown Petoskey traffic trying to make it home by 5 because I got something to pick up from a business that closes at 5.
Yeah, I've just been trying to avoid all the traffic in town, but it's been tough lately.
Yeah, it has. It's been kind of typical after 4th of July, super busy summer traffic. I've been taking the back roads. That's what I'm doing now, too, is taking the back roads, not taking the main drag. Hey, you don't happen to have any idea, I don't know, you probably listen here more than I do. You don't happen to know what happened to the 6-8, do you? It seems to be gone.
No, and I haven't tried keying it up lately either. Somebody might have told me that they were having some difficulty getting into it recently. They were still getting into it from time to time, but it was kind of spotty. But there's not much activity on it, so I usually don't pay that much attention.
Maybe they lost the output or something. I could not. I was in harbor. I mean, I was right in harbor, right by the county buildings and the burger place across the street, and I could not bring it up. But maybe I was bringing it up and couldn't hear it. I don't know. I don't know what's up with that. I know that there's two new repeaters on the air that you may not know about.
Yeah, that's news to me. Where are they located?
There's a 145.31 that's on the Mackinac City Tower, same as the 511. And then there's a 442.6 in Levering, right on Levering Road.
Oh, that's interesting. Are they tied into anything, or are they standalone?
The 2.6 is on either the MI5 or MI6 DMR network, but the other one's a standalone analog.
Well, that's pretty cool. More is better.
Yeah, more to maintain, but yeah, more is better. Just those just went on the air on Saturday. You guys were mad at me that I didn't go help, but I was too busy burying the dead cop, so that kind of took precedent. I got another funeral tomorrow for that boat racer guy.
Yeah, my barber this morning was talking to me about the police officer's funeral. Was this the gentleman from Indian River?
Yeah, at the Harbor Light on Saturday. Is your barber in Indian River?
No, he's in Harbor Springs, but he is a Harbor Light parishioner, and he told me it was quite a moving ceremony and was amazingly well done. He was in awe about the whole thing.
It was gut-wrenching. Cop funerals tend to be anyway, and this wasn't a line of duty death, but still, it's... Yeah. I think it was a really good mix. And I agree, they did pull it off pretty well. It wasn't overloaded with pomp and circumstance, yet it was, you know, very much in recognition of his 18 years of service. So, but funerals suck. I've had way too many this year. Like I said, that one tomorrow. Hopefully I'm done for a while. It's just getting excessive.
Yeah, they tend to come in waves. I don't have a lot of affiliation with law enforcement, but coming from a military family, one of those funerals always gets me real bad, and sure as heck I'm not looking forward to when my father's time comes, because he's a field grade officer, retired, and it'll be quite the ceremony for him, I'm afraid.
Yep. Well, it's they do come in waves, but you know, the waves is normally 3 or 4, not 7 or 8, you know. So we're past our quota for the year, hopefully. Anyway, it's not terrible out here. I don't know if the rain's going to hold off for you. Carr says it's 81 degrees. Don't know what the dew point is. It's been a miserable couple days, though. You know, that I was very happy. I'd never been in that church before on Saturday, and I was very happy how well their climate control was engineered and working, because I was really anticipating the worst. I also, you know, wasn't aware of the parking situation, so I was prepared for having to walk, you know, for parking, and that didn't turn out to be necessary. But, and you know, I mean, I'm glad I went. I mean, I know all those guys, so it was definitely worth worth my time, and just, you know, it's something you got to do. Sometimes you got to.
Yeah, for sure. Saturday was brutal. My daughter's friend got married, and it was at the chapel in Bayview, and she was telling me how oppressively hot it was in there because they had no air conditioning. But the reception was at the Bayview Inn, which was pretty pretty comfortable, she said. So I guess the ceremony was real brief. That's just the way they are, and everybody was thankful for that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that that's the hottest day of the year. I mean, it was 95, and it was pretty miserable outside. We weren't out for long. You know, there was no graveside service or anything, but just being outside the church for the short amount of time that we had to be, couldn't have picked a more miserable day. But there, it's funny that there was some reference to that about this guy's background and where he'd relocated from and all that kind of stuff. So, are you doing private instruction, or you have a regular class, or how many? That's kind of what I'm curious. We got a guy that does the CPL training, kind of on-demand sort of thing, and we're not having that many students. I mean, we've had some, and there's a couple classes coming up, but they're pretty sparsely attended, you know, and 2, 3, 4, if we can get 4 in a class, we're pretty happy.
Yeah, we affectionately refer to that as the Trump effect. So we do a couple of different classes. We have Saturday, like fun day. What we teach is the next step beyond your CPL. Situational awareness, how to actually walk around with a concealed weapon, marksmanship, all of that. And the Saturday classes are open to anybody. We have run typically one Saturday a month, although in the past, under certain administrations, we were doing 2 a month. And then another night during the week, we've got some more high-speed guys that we train up on some more advanced techniques. And we're actually going to train with the Alliance Ohio Police Department in September, which should be super fun, too.
Are you USCCA or NRA or both?
So I was fortunate to be trained by a Special Forces operator, as was my buddy. He holds a NRA Chief Range Training Officer cert, and I just work under his as his assistant.
Gotcha. Our instructor is an active duty police sergeant from downstate, and he's got both the NRA and the USCCA. I would love to be able to get in a situation where we had enough volunteers to be able to send people to range officer school and actually have a range officer there, at least on some set schedule, so that, you know, if you wanted to go when there was a range officer, you would know when that was and you would have that opportunity. We just did an insurance review and upped a bunch of the coverage. So, but it's still a, you know, it's a drop in a bucket if you have an incident, because you're going to go right to the policy maximums anyway. We're just looking at our E&O and D&O and trying to figure out where to best spend our money, you know, where's the most bang for our buck sort of thing.
Yeah, you're smart to do that. Our operation is small enough that we have a different setup, but I do carry my own personal firearms-based liability insurance that I just carry and renew every year, and that should be adequate for most things, but you never know. So yeah, it's definitely a thing.
I'm a little lacking at the moment. I've had personal umbrellas, you know, just literally all-encompassing umbrellas for a number of different reasons, you know, consulting businesses and some LLCs that aren't active anymore and that kind of stuff. I had my FFL for 12 years back before Brady came along and screwed it all up.
Oh, those pre-1986 days, they must have been glorious.
You know, I had mine through three renewals. I did have one administrative ATF visit, and it was fine. You know, I mean, it's not brain surgery, and I was not doing that high a volume. I mean, like, there were a couple of people that I sold to that were, like, you know, secondhand referrals, but for the most part, it was all, you know, first generation cops and firemen and family and referrals. But, you know, that amounted to, especially late in it, you know, I mean, it was a couple of hundred guns a year. So there definitely was some record-keeping requirements, but, you know, they're easy. They're very straightforward and very easy. I had thoughts about getting it back up here, but I have access to a number of guys that kept theirs, so it hasn't really been a big deal. I kept my contacts with my wholesale sources, you know, the ones that are still around, because a lot of them went away. But so I don't ever have to pay retail. And although, I don't know if you're familiar, there aren't any up here, but downstate in, I believe it's either Highland or Heartland, there's a Rural King. Man, they got some pretty good over-the-counter prices. Sometimes it's not even worth the trouble to me to bother a private FFL to do the transfer.
Yeah, there's a difference between what you describe, you know, a couple hundred guns a year based on referrals and acquaintances and known people versus doing it for your actual business. A lot of pitfalls you can get into. One of the nice things, though, if you're a SIG guy and you hold NRA cert, they offer a very, very nice discount plan for anything that you want to buy direct from them, whether it's long guns, pistols, ammunition, optics, any of their stuff. They have like a pro pricing program that is really, really quite amazing.
Yeah, they're not alone. And, you know, I don't have anything against SIG. They're not at the top of my list. I mean, I just, the 226 and the 228 are fine, but anything else, like the, you know, the 230, and what's the one everybody's all nuts about, the 365? Yuck.
Well, I ran a P320 X5 for a few years in three-gun competition and absolutely loved that pistol. Just an amazing competition gun. And I've got a 320 that I have as my carry gun, but I've kind of set that on the shelf. I've been watching what's been going on with the 320 for the last few years, and I'm not convinced there isn't something to all of that. So I'm being a little bit more cautious about it, especially since I carry appendix. KF8ENF for ID.
It's not Friday. It's Tuesday. So I've been following it, too, and I think there is something to it, more than just coincidence and hype, but I also think that it's inflated, probably 50% or more. You know, I was really concerned about the self-firing gun in the holster and that Air Force guy dying, but that's been, disputed and set aside. So it's not as bad as some people want you to think, but that doesn't mean that there's not an issue, you know. But when you remember, you know, if you were paying attention back then, you know, in the, I would say, early to mid-80s, when the real heavy law enforcement transition went from, you know, wheel guns to semis, and there were a lot of big agencies, Detroit being one of them, that had a whole lot of problems with, you know, with ADs and the full-size Glock lines, the 17s, the 22s, you know. And I'm, just from a familiarity standpoint, I'm more Glock than SIG, just from experience. Like I said, I mean, 226 is a great gun, 228 is a great gun. I know some guys that are real big into the 230, but, you know, it's personal preference. I have really big hands, you know, and if I put a set of those Hogue monogrips on a, you know, like a Gen 4 or a Gen 5, 17, 22, 30, 21, that's more up my alley. W8RPM.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with the simplicity and the reliability of Glock. I mean, we have a joke on the range that, you know, people that can't shoot their Glocks accurately, well, you probably got one that was made on a Monday after the World Cup. But, you know, the one defective Glock, they're fantastic, and my G17 is my go-to war gun if I ever needed to. But, you know, that whole thing back to the 320, there is something to be said for potential. My understanding is that the way that that action works is that the striker is fully cocked, which is one of the reasons they get such a nice trigger pull out of it, whereas the Glock only partially cocks the striker, and it doesn't have enough energy to detonate a primer if it drops prematurely. And when you actually do pull the trigger on a Glock, that actually cocks the striker the rest of the way before it releases it. So, to me, there's something to that, and I think that SIG has really handled it all wrong, and it sounds like they might be reversing their course on that a little bit, but it might be too late for them.
Well, and the problem is not as much with the, quote, 320s as it is with the M18s. Because how many tens or hundreds of thousands of M18s are there out there in circulation, you know? And yeah, I agree. I think they dropped the ball on it. I think they handled it wrong. I think at some point, the denials just got to stop. You know, you got to go, okay, we hear you, and react from that frame of mind, because I know there's a lot of agencies that were big supporters, and now they've got raised eyebrows and question marks.
Well, and there's something to be said for what's your level of confidence with what you're carrying on your hip, and that's why I retired mine. Not because I was specifically concerned about them, but I can't be 1,000% confident in it, so I'm going to set that aside until everything shakes out on it, and I can be convinced again. In the meantime, yes, I'm carrying on my Glock 19, and that's okay.
For the longest time, pre-COVID, my EDC was a 36, which is a single stack, and with COVID, you know, when the world kind of went nuts with COVID, I went back to my 21. I went back to carrying my 21 on a regular basis, you know, Hogue monogrips, night sights, you know, and a 30-round mag in the glove box. But it's, and I can pull it off. I mean, I'm a big guy, but in the summer, it's sort of a pain.
Yeah, for sure. Compromises, right? Well, hey, just about at my destination, so I'm going to let you go. Good catching you on the air again. It's been a while. I've been wondering where you've been. And as always, appreciate the chat. KF8ENF, clear on your final.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Just nothing. You know, with the exception of all these funerals, nothing really bad, just a lot of stuff going on. Kind of transitioning a vehicle here maybe, and had some minor travel, nothing too far, but Alpena a couple times, and Atlanta, and Mayo, and got a couple of Gaylord Graylings coming up, so just, and I got super busy on the real estate lending side, got real busy again too, so, but I did see your email, I think I responded to it, and we'll catch up. Have to try out those new repeaters. I haven't either. I have not tried them myself, so, but I'm familiar, and I'm familiar with the guys that put them on the air and all the minutia that go with it, so. All right, good luck today. Have fun. Be safe, and we'll see you later, W8RPM.
Mobile.
KB9T. Things like him. Headache damage.
You didn't answer my text.
I saw it, but I also was working on something else at the same time, and I completely forgot. I'm sorry.
Is that Norris Radio?
No, I work for Telerad.
Okay. What do you know about North Radio? My son just put in an app.
Not a whole lot. Yeah, I think the only county that I know that they have for vehicles and radio stuff is Leelanau.
Seem like they're big on ICOM and Kenwood.
Yeah, that tracks. And I think they do vehicles and stuff too.
Yeah, that's what he applied for. I guess he's got it. It's gonna start Monday.
Oh, fun. You'll have to tell me if he likes working there. So, is he going to be mostly working on vehicles, or is he going to be doing some RF stuff?
They said repeaters, tower sites, on location, police and fire vehicles.
Oh, good deal. I got to run. The cat is currently bugging me. I think she wants more food. So. Catch you later, Shannon. Thank you.
Alright, 7-3. Talk to you later. KASPW.
KASPW.